So there are these points of stillness. And sometimes they're in the East Indian philosophy, which is the most ancient on the planet. It's also from East India, incidentally, that we have the concept zero at all. It was invented in India and brought by the Arabians into Europe in the 4th century A.D. So there is not even a concept of zero prior to that in the West, because we were still thinking that there was something rather than nothing behind all this, namely God, you know. And when you tell a little kid about God, I mean, a perceptive little kid about God, the first question that usually comes up is, where does God come from? Which is a very legitimate question, usually poo-pooed, but nonetheless, where? Nowhere. Nowhere. So this concept of getting back to the Eastern idea of the still point. The Eastern word is laya, L-A-Y-A. And it just means like an empty point. A point beyond any differentiation, but with infinite potential. It's kind of like a portal. If this room didn't have any doors in it, we wouldn't have been able to come in, nor would we be able to go out. So it's the empty places that make things happen, make things possible, like doors. So if you can imagine the utility of a door to a room, then imagine the utility of a similar kind of empty space in the mind. If we could just empty it out, create a little empty space, we might be able to go through a door we didn't know was there, because there was too much activity occurring to allow us to become aware that there was a door there. And if it hadn't been there, the activity wouldn't have been able to be occurring. Because activity can only occur where nothing is already occurring. Which is why some have said nothing's occurring. But there appears to be quite a lot occurring. So if a person is tired, let's say, of the pleasure-pain axis, you know, I spent 40 years, you know, going back and forth on this one, there's got to be, you know, what else can I do? The starting point would be for most of us would be perhaps the idea of moderating. Find a moderator inside. There's a moderator in there somewhere who can actually moderate some of what's going on. It doesn't have to just be all automatic pilot just because we're raised a certain way, you know. Okay, fine. But somewhere in there's a moderator, a captain, if you like, who can kind of take charge. And say, okay, I've been addicted to pleasure and trying like hell to avoid pain for a lot of years. I just go back and forth, back and forth. I'm never really very content. I'm tired of it. So what I'm going to try to do now is be a little less addicted to pleasure and a little less averted to pain. Give them a little less charge. I met a man not too long ago He was written off for dead about 35 years ago. But 35 years later, he tells me that he's arrived at the point where he's fine whether he's happy or sad. Okay, that's progress. If he's sad, he's okay. If he's happy, he's okay. Why? Because neither one's important to him anymore. It's got nothing to do with who he actually is. It does have to do with his life conditions, happy, sad. But it's got nothing to do with who he actually is. And he knows it. And he does not call himself spiritual. Nor would he say this to very many people. Nonetheless, he's okay whether he's happy or sad. He's also a man who told me it took him 18 years of strenuous effort to overcome the notion of God he was brought up with, which he realized was blocking his way. He was stuck with an image. It took him 18 years to get rid of that image. Not just literally get rid of the image, but get rid of all the associations with the image. Because in the end, reality's got nothing to do with images. In spite of the cosmetic industry. And we start teaching people this stuff, you know, a lot of people are going to go bankrupt. Yeah. So we got to push the images. So they say that if a person wants to kind of understand and move closer to the quote-unquote zero principle, which has to do with moderation, the Buddha taught the middle way, and he taught eight steps involved in moving toward what he called enlightenment. Or this cosmic consciousness or voidness. And it said that whatever path the person's on, if they're on a path, at any given point, they're in a certain state of being. They're on some particular path. We're assuming, talking about people on a path. They're on a particular path. They exist in a certain state of being on that path. They have a particular conception of the path they're on. Maybe some image is connected with the path that they're on. And all of this they're attempting to be true to. But at the same time, it's suggested that even though they have a certain conception of themselves and a certain conception of a path and a certain conception of images connected with that, they should simultaneously, while attempting to be true to it, they should simultaneously be trying to transcend it. Because their current understanding of it is simply that. It's their current understanding of it. If they're willing to think through their current understanding and keep moving and keep remembering that the ultimate reality is no thing, then by the slow process of self-discipline and some form of spiritual practice, they can move through centers through this self-questioning process, they can move through centers which will give them a new understanding or a renewed or a deeper understanding of the path that they're on.